Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Victory formation. Mills takes a knee. And the regular season is over. The Texans get their 10th victory. Back to back with 10 wins. D'Amico does it again. 23-14. They beat the Titans to cap the campaign and head for the playoffs.
Yeah, Mark Vandermeer on the call. They are back in the playoffs again, just like last season, 10-7. Feels different, but 10-7, division champions, four seed, 3:30, Saturday. Man, don't tell me the Texans aren't a consistent franchise. Eight times in the playoffs, eight times, 3:30 on Saturday.
Also, I did not fact check this, but it feels right. They've been in the playoffs eight times and in the wild card round, but never as a wild card team. Always as the division winner.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's been a home game every time. Yep.
That's I don't know what that is.
You know what? It's in some years it's a testament to how bad the AFC South is for sure.
Yeah.
You know, and in some years it's a testament to that the Texans have been a good football team, and hopefully they're a good football team over these next few weeks. They are, by the way, welcoming everybody on a Reaction Monday. Texans win yesterday, as you heard Mark Vandermeer say, 23-14. I'm Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. And we are striving 6 days in to be the best in the world.
Yes, best in the world.
That's our goal in 2025.
Division champions.
That's a start.
Oh, yeah, okay, we got to be better than that.
That's a start. Right. Yep.
But I'm so happy with these division champions.
I know. We get T-shirts. By the way, you can get your T-shirts at Academy. Ready to roll, it says on it. You know what I learned last night, Seth, watching Dan Campbell's victory speech after the Lions clinched the number one seed? That ready to roll motto that's on the Texans divisional champion T-shirts, I believe that's an NFL thing because it's on the Lions T-shirts as well.
Oh, really?
Either that or the Lions are trying to copy the Texans.
Classic Lions.
Yeah.
Hmm.
15-2 trying to copy the Texans. Yep.
Oh, there were all kinds of crazy stats about that game yesterday. It was the first time in NFL history that a regular season game was played between two teams that had a combined 28 wins.
Oh, yeah.
You remember, like, oh, okay, there's an extra game. So it's a little easier to pull off, but still pretty damn impressive.
Well, the next closest was 25, so they both pulled it off by last week.
Yeah.
If they had played last week, it would have been the most. So that's, Yeah, that was fun last night. It was fun yesterday, man. It's always fun beating the Titans, especially when Amy Adams gets to cry. I'm assuming she cried after the game. She cried when they won in Week 12. I'm assuming she was sobbing her ass off in Week 18.
I was almost kind of grateful that she's decided to pull off this little shtick every year. In that, all right, it was an emotionally, there was something to get up for maybe a little bit. And towards the end of the year, Sean, you might ask, like, okay, well, what do a bunch of guys who aren't from Houston care about whether or not the Titans are wearing the Oilers uniforms? this is the time of year when you're finding stuff to hate the other team for. Mm-hmm. And you can, if a few guys on that team, because there was a certain amount of chippiness, I feel like, okay, you know what? You go in for that. All right. You know, it seems like our owners, at least Hannah McNair, isn't all that happy about this whole scenario. Let's do it for Hannah.
Yeah.
Just, you find anything to latch on to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In this world where hate is around every corner, sometimes you still find yourself out of hate towards the end of a season when you're tired.
Sometimes hate is the right potion for what it is you're looking to accomplish. We'll get into exactly what was accomplished yesterday in the next segment. For now, I was watching intently. I was so back and forth on whether I wanted to play the Steelers or the Chargers yesterday afternoon. I don't know where you are on the whole thing.
I wanted the Steelers.
Yeah.
I just the Steelers are,
they're bad
much
right
like
now.
The Texans, they're running on fumes.
Yes.
And Russell Wilson just looks like whatever that little lanyap is that used to take him over the top, that's gone out the window.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, he feels like a deflated, withering balloon of a man. And the Steelers defense isn't as good as they were at the beginning of the year. You could say the same thing about the Chargers, and yet the Chargers have the best scoring defense in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, Harbaugh versus Tomlin, they're both good coaches, but the way that this team, this Chargers team, is constructed, I just think it's a tougher test for the Texans. But it's neither here nor there. Either way, you get a home game, so there you go.
The odds makers agree with you. The Chargers are a favorite in this game. Chargers are fairly substantial for a wild card team coming into another team's stadium in the playoffs. I mean, a 3-point favorite on the road, and the Chargers are not exactly a team that have draped themselves in glory. I shouldn't say a team. It's a good team. A franchise that's draped themselves in glory in the postseason in the past.
Right. You got all kinds of historical narratives you're running up against here. Chargers constantly have been playoff disappointments, even after their most impressive regular seasons throughout history. That has nothing to do with Jim Harbaugh or anything. And yet, C.J. Stroud has never beaten Jim Harbaugh. So it's...
Yeah, I'd forgotten they... Forgot they were acquainted with each other.
Yeah.
Back
so
in the day.
Nico and CJ will have to do something with a voodoo doll or something to try to just come to terms with that whole part of it.
Yeah. So it'll be Chargers. It'll be Saturday at 3:30. And I'm excited about it, man. We're getting texts in already early in the show here. I'm happy with the performance. As a fan, it gave me some hope.
Yeah. I was actually more excited about the victory than I thought I would be. Now, a part of it is just that the D'Amico's plan and what he wanted to accomplish, although I disagreed with it a little bit, he had a plan. He wanted to get out there. I think he wanted to give the offense especially maybe a little bit more confidence. He wanted to remind the defense what they're capable of.
Mm-hmm.
And on that first drive, for the sixth time all season, they were able to go down and score a touchdown on the opening drive.
That feels like a lot because I lived through the Bill O'Brien era.
Yeah. Well, the Texans have done a good job of scoring on opening drives.
Yeah.
They just haven't necessarily scored a lot of touchdowns on opening drives.
So they've scored 6 touchdowns on opening drives this year?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm not even being snarky or tongue-in-cheek. That feels like more than the entire Bill O'Brien era combined, like in 6 years.
Bill O'Brien was awesome at closing out games in the second half, whereas Bobby Sloak has usually shown that he shows his best stuff in the first quarter, maybe sometimes in the second quarter, and then falls apart completely in the second half.
Right.
So any of those things that might have plagued this Texans offense, you weren't going to have an opportunity to see. Plenty of excuses abound for why they only scored 16 points in this game on offense. So that went about as well as you could have hoped for, given D'Amico's plan was to try to just maybe inject some confidence and get feeling right going into the playoffs. So that one looked good. I mean, I hated that I was keeping count and that I was very aware of this as soon as Nico Collins caught the touchdown. Nico Collins touched the ball 4 times on that drive.
Yeah, feed him. I like that. If they're going to do that in the playoffs, they should do that.
If you're going to get Nico Collins 48 touches in a game, then so be it. It would be it'll be a performance for the ages, but it wasn't like that drive was one that was textbook. Oh yeah, they're firing on all cylinders right now.
No, but regardless of who CJ was throwing to, I liked the way he threw the football on that drive.
Yes. That was my big takeaway from that, is that, okay, CJ looked decisive. That that corner blitz, that, or at least with a unblocked man coming off the edge, he did exactly what he needed to do, threw into the teeth of the blitz,
yep.
Got it to Nico. Luckily, the Titans were too dumb to challenge the fumble, and they kept rolling on.
Yeah,
Third and two, they decide to go back shoulder to Nico, and hey, they made it look easy. So there you go. I think getting Nico involved in the shorter part of the game,
yeah.
that's a good thing. I think they need to continue to work on that. Then you get CJ out, he stays healthy, and you're off to the races.
That third and short play that you're talking about with Nico, the one where he went up over the guy and tippy-toed on the sideline. I mean, that was, unless you were going for it on fourth down, that was a bad play call. That was a little similar to the wheel route to Joe Mixon on third and two that they ran. I forget which game. It might have been the Tennessee game, actually. I forget which game it was. But I was kind of hoping that would be incomplete just to see, like, okay, now let's see what game management looks like on the opening drive. You know, do you throw a low percentage pass like that, knowing that you're going for it on fourth down? Because if I'm not mistaken, after that Mixon third and two wheel route, they punted on fourth and two in that game. I think that was the Titans game, if I remember. It was at home. I remember that. So, but I'm with you, man. Opening drive, and they got him out of there. They didn't leave CJ out there to lose his confidence or get hurt or anything like that.
The riskiest move of the game was D'Amico going into it with that strategy of wanting to get some confidence, because if it hadn't worked out, if let's say Dalton Schultz had had one of his all too frequent drops this season on that bootleg, or if CJ hadn't been able to connect with Nico on that third and short, and then if you go out there again and you stall out or something, then all of a sudden it becomes you're compounding the bad feelings and the lack of confidence and all of that.
Yep.
So I thought it was the right move just to have that taste of success and then get CJ out of there. They left Laramie in for a lot longer than I thought they would have, and Laramie, to his credit, I think, has really tried to do things the right way in totality in the second half of the season. I mean, he's always been an astoundingly good pass protector. It's the run game and the screens and all of that. I think they've made some progress there. The two false starts, I'm going to just try to chalk off to, like, all right, I know none of the other offensive linemen had an issue with Davis Mills' cadence, but whatever. Laramie's been good when CJ's been in there.
I was ashamed of Ross Tucker trying to make excuses for Laramie Tunsil. And I thought Ross had an A-plus performance yesterday, but he's going, sometimes the cadence changes. I'm like, Ross, you do more research than anybody I know as a color commentator. You know that he's leading the league in these things this year.
I was shocked and astounded at a couple things yesterday just from response on social media. One was that I pointed out the point I just made that, like, look, I was basically responding to Ross. After the second false start of Laramie's, I said, well, look, if it's only a problem for one guy, then the problem isn't Davis Mills' cadence.
Right.
But I was amazed at how many people were like, hey, man, he's gotten better. And I'm like,
are you talking about Davis?
No. Talking about
Laramie's gotten better.
I'm like, no, he went the month of December without a false start.
Right.
Including in which they had a bye week. Like, that's not...
Well, I mean, technically.
Included with Davis, though, too, people saying, like, wow, Davis had a great game.
That's what I thought you were talking about. Yeah.
No, I'm talking about both of those.
Yeah.
I'm like, how far have our standards fallen that a 50% completion percentage and Laramie only having two false starts in the last 5 weeks
is
a huge jump of progress. I don't get that.
We're damaged right now. We're damaged by this offense. Yeah. David, someone asked me on Twitter, is this the best game Davis has ever had? I'm like, no, there's a reason he was the starter going into 2022. He was really good the last five games of his rookie year. He had a passer rating of 102 in his last five games of his rookie. Like, no, it's not even close to the best game he's ever had.
I had to go back and reevaluate it. I had to go back and watch all of Davis Mills' throws because I had all these people saying, wow, Davis looked really good.
He did some nice things, but it was
He did some nice things, yeah. but he was, I mean, the, like, look, and CJ's had games like this year, and I haven't said they were good games. 54.5% completion percentage for 128 yards and no touchdowns? No, that's not a good game.
I'm not
crushing him for it or anything. The game was what it was. It was a glorified preseason game.
All right, we're off and running on a Reaction Monday. Texans win yesterday, 23-14. We will today's Black Monday also. There's already been movement on the coaching front. We'll get to. If we don't get to that in the next segment, we'll touch on it in headlines. But there was one yesterday that was kind of shocking. But the checklist from yesterday, what exactly did the Texans get accomplished that was on the D'Amico Ryan / Payne and Pendergast checklist? We'll run through it coming up next.